Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Lay Love and Intimacy for the Disabled. This is your host, Stephanie Wallace, and today I am being joined by special guest host, Tyson Cherry. Hey, Tyson,
yes,
how you doing?
Fine, yes.
Good. How was your weekend?
My weekend was so okay. It was okay. I cannot complain. But my trainer did come today. I did broke up with him today. Stretching only. Yeah.
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
I'm sorry, I broke up with my trainer today. Stretching only, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Uh-huh.
So you like you were at Access today?
No. I have a personal trainer come to me. I go in there on Friday.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I know I used to. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
No, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I used to have a physical therapist come to me. Twice a week he used to come, and I like to have the home, you know, come because I'm more than likely to do it because sometimes I get like, even though I know physical therapy is good for me,
yes,
you know, sometimes I get like I don't want to do that,
right,
you know, and I miss appointments and things like that. Did you do anything for the 4th?
No, I wish I had no plans at all. And look, I did not because my elevator got broken too. It was broken. So I would have been mad.
Oh, yeah.
In goddamn house. So,
yeah,
mm-hmm,
I know.
Yes.
I've been lucky so far, you know. I've never gotten stuck. Like, I don't mind if I get stuck up here, and you know, on my floor, that's fine. I don't want to get stuck trying to come in the house.
So what floor do you live on, huh?
I live on 18.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. My sister said, why'd you let them put you all the way up there? And, you know, I live in public housing, so it's not like there's a bunch of apartments readily available. I had.
But you know what? You're lucky you're high up because now I realized that my neighbor on the lower floors, when it's New Year's and like 4th of July, his kid of guests are coming through the window. Can you believe? Is that something?
Oh,
I never thought about that. So what they said, they sleep in the hallway. Oh, yeah, ain't
that
something?
Oh,
I never thought about that.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Yes.
That's too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not like the you know, the noise, it bothers me because they go crazy out here on the 4th of July. But I'm glad it's over.
Right,
you know,
right.
I didn't do anything for the weekend. I just stayed in, you know, and relaxed.
Okay.
You know, I went out today. I call myself. I get up this morning, you know, while I'm still laying in the bed. I'm like, okay, I'm going to make an early day of it. I got up about 6:30, 7 o'clock to take my shower and everything, and I wanted to go for a ride on the West Side Highway. Cause I got a new loaner scooter, and so I wanted to see how fast it could go. You know, it moves faster than the old one. And, it, you know, I like it better. So I went to take it out on the West Side Highway in the bike lane.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up getting a call from my son, and we ended up talking for a couple of hours. Just shut down my whole day, you know. And then my daughter, she says, well, you know, the kids want to come over. Now, this is in the morning, like about 9-something. She didn't get here until 3 o'clock.
Oh, my goodness. And I'm waiting.
So, and, you know, at this point, I'm aggravated. She come in, the kids are aggravated, so we're going out to go try and have a good time. You know, I said, let me stop and get some snacks and everything for the kids. We go to We got a basket full of snacks. Get up to the counter. I don't have any money. I left my debit card.
Goodness.
Left the debit card at home. So, you
okay,
know,
so
I thought what I could...
You don't carry cash on you, huh?
I had $6.
Okay.
I happened to have $6
okay.
on me. You know,
yes.
so I bought what I could with that. And, you know, got pouting kids and an I got an attitude. Everybody seemed to have an attitude.
Mm.
But we're going to have a good time. I thought that was funny. You know, it's just, it all worked out. They're out there. I came home and I got to ride fast on the West Side Highway. So I'm
okay.
good.
Okay. So how fast was you going? Because I had one incident. My best friend, he told me that his aunt was racing a damn bus, and she was in a wheelchair, and she raced the bus to see how fast her wheelchair would run. And she
you
fell,
said,
too.
Oh, no. Oh,
yes.
goodness. I don't know how fast I was going. I don't know how fast I was going. But I am very mindful of falling. You know, I see that.
Okay, yes.
The faster
yes.
I go, the easier, you know, just a little touch of the steering, it makes it go too fast. So I won't be doing that much often, but I will
mm-hmm.
be riding on the West Side Highway because it's very freeing. It feels
yes.
so free, you know, so I will be doing that.
And that by the wonders, right? Huh.
Yes.
That's
yes,
what
yes.
Well, okay. Isn't there a park this too, I believe?
A
is
what?
There a park there, I believe. I saw one, I think.
A park?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah, the whole waterfront area
okay.
is like park. You know,
okay.
so
I've never been yet. I'll always go.
You gotta come over. You have to come over one day.
Yes.
You have to
okay.
come over. I tell you. There are
yeah.
parts that don't even feel like you're in New York City.
Get here. Oh, my goodness. Yes.
So
and
you have to come over.
All over there, too. Mm-hmm.
Pardon me?
Yes. They burn all up over there, too, huh? Are they burning
I'm sorry.
Over there? Are they building buildings? Are making
oh,
look
buildings,
nice
yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I have a very nice view of the river from my window and
okay.
sunset and everything. But they're building a building, you know, that seems like it's going to block my view once they get it up. I don't see, they've
mm-hmm.
been doing it for a couple of years, but I don't see anything really going
okay.
up, but I know it's a construction site. I really
mm-hmm.
hope they don't build this building
mm-hmm.
because it's my favorite thing to look at. It's very relaxing and just, I used to just sit in the window and look out, you know, at the river like I was looking at TV or something.
Okay.
It's just very relaxing.
You can see the fireworks in your window down.
Not, they moved them back to the East River. This is the Hudson River.
Okay. Yes.
And they moved it
okay.
back on the east side. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, but the first year I moved here, I could see the fireworks. I actually was laying in my bed looking at the fireworks. I was like, this is so cool.
I'm so confused. I thought the FDR job was the east side. I thought.
Yeah, the FDR drive is the east side, and then you have the West Side Highway. So you
okay.
have a highway on the west side and a highway on
yes.
the east side.
Okay,
so
yes, yes.
So, from my view is of Jersey. I can see Jersey.
Okay. Okay.
And so
on
the other
side,
you see Brooklyn, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I'm going to get into our topic today.
Yes.
And our topic
sure.
today is love and dating while disabled. But I wanted to approach it from a man's point of view and from a woman's
mm-hmm.
point of view. You know, and
yes.
I don't really know if disability is a really big factor here, but one of the things that I have found, and we talked about this on the show before, is that, you know, once we become disabled, we sometimes shut ourselves down. you know, when it comes to love and dating and things like that. And I was wondering, if it's not too personal a question, have you dated since you've been disabled?
No, I have not. And then by me being disabled, I feel that no woman would be desired by another disabled man, you see. That's just the way I feel, you see. Because a woman wants to be protected by me. What can I do for her, you see? That's the way I feel, yes. Yes.
But what is okay. I think that goes back to the images that we have of what dating someone is like, and those are able-bodied images, you know. But people who have disabilities, it doesn't shut down their need for affection and intimacy. And so just like you may not be able to sweep a woman off of her feet, you know, and carry her up the stairs, you know, and all of these things that we see in the movies or whatever, but certainly you have something to offer.
Yes.
You know, and when you are involved with someone, you know, in a mature relationship and an understanding and a loving relationship, we understand, you know, a person understands that, okay, if I'm dating somebody disabled, there are definitely going to have to be, you know, some type of accommodations I may have to make or whatever, you know. So I think that we shut, because I've done the same thing also, you know, because you feel like I don't fit into this picture anymore, you know. You don't fit into a romantic picture anymore.
Yes.
You know.
Because, matter of fact, I saw one episode of Oprah Winfrey, and there was a man, he had no legs and no hands, but he was still married, you see, and had children. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So, it's like, if we can get beyond ourselves and what we think somebody else wants. I mean, I think there's somebody out there for everybody. You know, I really do. Maybe a little hard to find it. Maybe a little bit hard to find it. And but I think there's somebody out there for everybody. And do you think you would ever get up enough to ask a woman out?
No, I won't. Because I'm too bashful, first of all. And then, in my predicament, I don't feel the courage to, you see. I don't feel the encouragement yet, not yet. But you never know in the future, you see. But not right now. Right now, I'm for that, yes.
How do you feel about a woman asking a man out?
If a woman, I found out too that men are ashamed, don't want to be rejected by a woman when they approach them, you see. That lowers their self-esteem. So some men do feel like comforting for a woman to ask them out, of course. Yes.
Yeah.
It takes them some time, you see. Still being rejected, you see.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That whole thing about rejection is like, I'm like, look, hey, if I ask a guy out, I'm not going to be no worse off than I was before I asked him out. What's going to happen? You know, he going to say yes or he going to say no. You know,
and
so.
That's understandable when it comes from a woman doing that, but a man get rejected more than a woman do, you see. And sometimes a man don't want to hear that, you see. they do not want to hear that rejection, you see. So they do not approach that situation like a woman would at all, you see.
Now, before being disabled, were you too bashful to ask a woman out, or were you more confident?
I was more confident then, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
I was more confident, yes.
Do you think that people see us as non-dateable?
Non-dateable? No, I feel that a man would ask out another disabled woman, but another woman would not ask out a disabled man. Yes.
I beg to differ. I did it.
Yes.
Yeah, I did it. I did it. I asked out a disabled man, and he said yes, but then he told me that, you know, he actually had a girlfriend, so it's like, well, then no, you know. You know, but I got up enough courage to ask him, and, you know, that was that, and we're still cool, you know. Afterwards, it didn't put any type of strain or anything. And then nobody's awkward or anything like that. So, but I think when it boils down, you really are attracted to a person's personality.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
You're attracted to a person's personality, and whatever the disability is, if you're truly attracted to that person's personality, you'll look over that, and you'll just. Look, everything is not going to be perfect in life. And even those with able bodies and everything, they have issues and problems.
Yes, yes.
You know, so. You know,
before we had went to that seminar, I think it was seminar you called it, right?
Right, the seminar.
I went to myself, I said to myself, now I don't see how can two disabled people have sex, you see, with each other. I did not see that at all, you see. But now, when it came to at the seminar, now I see how, you know.
Yeah, and I think you make whatever accommodations you have to make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know.
Yes, adjustments, yes.
Right, yeah, you make whatever adjustments that you have to make, and that's it. That's, to me, that's mature, you know. And I'm so glad to go to that seminar, and I wish more people had gone, and, you know, it was one of my reasons for starting this show, because it's the type of thing that I think needs to be talked about to help us become more comfortable, excuse me, with ourselves and with each other.
Yes.
You know, so that this won't be such a, because I can see how it's a curious subject to other people, but for us, ourselves, it shouldn't be such a curious subject. It shouldn't be so, curious is not the word I'm looking for. I'm looking for another word, but I can't think of it. But a subject that we don't know enough about, just amongst ourselves, you know, just one, talking about sex, people, you know, I think our attitudes about sex tends to be kind of juvenile. Sometimes, I'm just talking about people in general. You know, I think sometimes it tends to be sort of juvenile. And, you know, it's like everybody wants to approach it like, yeah, I know. You know, but you can't possibly know. You can't know what pleases this person based on what pleased that person. You know, it's all individual. So, you know, for us, excuse me, I'm sorry. For us, it's almost like You know, I mean, it's, sometimes amongst friends, we talk, friends talk, you know, but just to, in general, you know, it's like, I just think it's a subject that needs to be discussed so that we can be more comfortable with each other, and that's it, you know, then discussed openly, you know, without fear of embarrassment.
Yes.
You know, so that, because I feel like, you know, you have so many people who close themselves off to romance, to love, to intimacy, you know, just feeling sort of isolated in their own little world when it comes to that, feeling like they don't want to put themselves out there because what do I have to offer somebody? Nobody, you know, is going to want me in this condition, you know, and that's not always true. That's not always true, you know.
That's what I learned from this seminar.
It's very good. It was very, very good. You know,
because,
my favorite. Go ahead.
No, because people do judge by their appearance mostly. It's the most important thing that's been yours, not in my predicament. But when I was walking, yes, I believe I was judged by my parents a lot. By other people, yes. That's how I feel, yes.
Now, I think that with amongst us, okay, I had a conversation with a gentleman who was in a wheelchair, and he said, what I want with a woman in a wheelchair?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't feel like he wanted, you know, he didn't want a woman in a wheelchair. And on one level, I could understand that because his disability, you know, his body was weak. And so, you know, to be able to have sex with a woman, she would have to be the one with the strength, you know, whatever, so able body would work. But I'm my mind goes further than sex. You know, my mind, because at the end of the day, if all you have with a person is sex, you really don't have much.
No,
you know?
It's that relationship. That's fatuation, ain't it? That's what you call it, I think. Fatuation. Not a relationship.
Right, right. You know, it's not, it might satisfy you for a moment, but, okay, what about being fulfilling? You know, just like you said, a relationship with somebody. I think in terms of, I think long term. That's how I think. I think long term. I didn't grow up with, and I guess the younger generation, you find they are more, what do they call it, hooking up.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, they hook up a lot more. You know, when what we used to call one night stands, I guess. You know, but that's never been my mindset. So, you know, I've always been a long term type person, and I don't think you should be sleeping with people unless you are in it for the long haul. But that's just me, you know. But yeah. So, you know, like I was saying about the gentleman, I guess that works for that. But when you think in terms of a relationship, you know, something more satisfying, more long lasting, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I think I would prefer dating somebody who is disabled.
Oh, yeah?
I really do. Yeah, I do, because
why?
I think there's a level of understanding that, you know, you would have with somebody who's disabled rather than with somebody who's not, you know, who's able-bodied. I don't know why part of me feels like it would be pity between able-bodied and disabled, but that's just my mind. That's just my mind. I know that's not always the case. But I think I would be more comfortable dating somebody who's disabled.
I wouldn't. You see, I would not be comfortable since then someone else disabled, you see. I would not.
Yeah. And why is that?
I feel that back to my same situation as before, what woman would want another man to be with, you see? That's how I see it. I can't date another disabled person. And then I'll say, how can I please her? And you see?
But see, that's the whole thing about being accommodating and having those mutual understandings. Okay, this works, this doesn't. We can do this, but we can't do that, you know. And that's where the accommodations come in. You know, and accommodating each other and understanding, you know, okay, his this don't work, her that doesn't work. And you figure out between the two of you what does work. You know, if you met somebody, pardon me?
That's true, yes.
If you met somebody that you really liked, but you're like, okay, this person is, you know, you figure like physically it might not work out for you. Well, you would let that go? You would let that pass you by without, you know, at least trying? Do you understand what I'm saying or what I'm asking?
Yes. For me, I would have to let it go by, you see. That's the way I feel. Until I get the strength up, I don't have the confidence now.
Right.
I don't have the confidence. That's the main thing about me, you see.
Mm-hmm.
The confidence, you see. A lot of men are there, too.
What do you think would build your confidence? What is the level of confidence, and how do you get there?
I have no idea right now. No idea. Not right now.
You'll know when it happens.
Yes.
Okay. That's interesting. That's very interesting. I know someone who won't date a woman. She's an able-bodied woman, but she's not working, and she hasn't been working for a while. You know, she got job eliminated, had a very good job, and, you know, her job got eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
And she will not date. She will not go on a date because she's not working.
Mm-hmm.
And she feels like, you know, she has nothing to offer. You know, nothing to bring to the table, so she won't go on a date. And I find it interesting the barriers that we put on ourselves. You know, a lot of times, wow, that was fast. I'm getting the 90-second warning. But,
okay.
And at this time, and which I took your cue from, taking your cue from last week, to let people know where they can find us. We are on Facebook at LAID, Love and Intimacy for the Disabled. We can be found on Twitter at LAID Safe Space. Also, you can drop us a line at Love and Intimacy for the Disabled at gmail.com. And you can always find us here at blogtalkradio.com/LAID at 6 p.m. on Mondays. Tyson, I really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you very much for co-hosting.
Yes. Okay.
And
thank you for having me.
Of course,
thank
anytime.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Have a wonderful evening.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay.